colleagues, welcome back to the office and to our presentation and podcast for today. This is Next Generation Excel Reporting Part 2. In this series, we are looking at the latest and greatest as it relates to Microsoft Excel and the best practices that come with respect to how to utilize this incredible tool more effectively. You know, Excel is just one of those applications that we're always coming up with new things to do with it. And if you're still following the business practices that you started with, you know, at the beginning of your career, even if you started your career a couple of years ago, you're missing the boat with respect to some of the amazing things that this application can do. There are five cutting-edge next-generation tools that we can use inside of Excel. Data modeling, Power Query, Data Analysis Expressions, they're called DAX, Power Pivot, Slicers, and Timelines. And with that functionality, we can really kind of build whatever type of report that we want. In a way, we can also create what we would consider a write-once, refresh-many report, in the sense that we do the work once. And once the work is done, we hit refresh whenever we'd like a new cut of the data, and that report will dynamically update. And the way that we do that is through these five incredible functions inside of Excel. So we are going to continue our discussion that we started the first episode and take a deeper and more integrated look with respect to Power Query and Power Pivot, as well as with some of the features and functions with tables inside of data modeling as well, and how we can use these three incredible tools in conjunction to create better and more useful reports for whatever our organization might need. So I hope you continue to enjoy this presentation and this series because, man, I would say out of a lot of the stuff that we teach, this is one of those things that I think is just so incredible because so many of us use Excel on a day-to-day basis that there are so many efficiencies and opportunities for improving our work if we just update our procedures. So before we get started with our presentation today, I do want to remind you that our podcasts, as with all of CPE Today's podcasts, are eligible for CPE credit. How awesome and cool is that? It's super simple. After you watch or listen today, head on over to cpetoday.com. And today's course code is NGE2, Next Generation Excel 2. You take a short 5-question quiz and you will earn a credit for today's class. In addition to our podcast, we have a wide range of all different types of materials, including for accounting, for tax, for audit, for personal development, and more. All the education that you're going to need to stay competitive and the top of your game as it relates to being a financial professional. So please check out cpetoday.com, and we're putting new content up all the time. So today's presentation was brought to you by a recent State Society conference. At the end of our presentation today, we're going to go ahead and have a couple of brief review and polling questions to reinforce the learning that we had today. So I'll join you here just in a little bit for some review questions. Enjoy our presentation for today. So that is a little bit with respect to what we can do with our data modeling inside of Excel. More on that here in a little bit in terms of using our tables to be able to really kind of provide some really advanced capabilities inside of it. This thing, though, this essential features and functions of being able to map in data coming from different places and map in the way that they relate to each other, this is, in my opinion, probably the linchpin of all the major functionality of Excel for this kind of breakthrough functionality. Okay. Now, getting that data in can come in from a number of different ways. One of the most common techniques that we utilize is Power Query. And Power Query serves two purposes. It allows us, for example, to query our data from external data sources. And then it also allows us to transform that data coming in from other purposes. Okay. It is what we refer to as an ETL component, or extract, transform, and load. With extract, transform, and load, it allows us to be able to pull in data from multiple different resources, you know, whether they be a database as an example, or it is another Excel workbook, or it could be a, folder of data. It could be data from the web. We can take data from these different places, okay, wherever it happens to end up being, and then we can combine it inside of Excel using Power Query and the data modeling capabilities. But the specific way that we are able to go and grab this data, the connector for this different data, well, that comes from Power Query. Power Query will create these different connections that can go out to it, and it can grab that data from any number of sources. Now, one of the cool things about using Power Query is that once the data is loaded inside of Excel, it will store that data inside of that data model, giving you the ability to do everything that I just showed you right now in terms of creating worksheets that combine data coming from multiple different sources. Now, where that functionality lives inside of Excel has been there in the same place for a long time, although I will point out in Excel 2016, it was pretty much a complete rewrite for how that Excel functionality worked. Power Query is located up here in the Data tab. And from the Data tab on the left-hand side, you'll notice you've got this Get and Transform as well as Queries and Connections. Okay, we're going to dive through this here in a minute. I'm just trying to point out where that functionality might live. But this is your range of tools and capabilities with respect to accessing data from multiple places. We could pull in data from static resources, from database resources. Okay, we can pull in data, for example, from SQL servers, from Access databases, and more. Okay, we can modify data from other text files, CSV files, and more. And we can also easily edit this to really kind of bring in whatever additional data that we might need. There's really kind of nothing that Power Query can't connect to, including applications themselves. I'll give you some different examples of that here in a moment. Now, the third functionality is Power Pivot. And Power Pivot, as I mentioned, despite its name, is not a pivot table tool. Rather, contrary to what most folks believe, it is used to modify and work with data models. It doesn't actually produce pivot tables itself. Although I will point out that when you utilize Power Pivot, the only way of returning data back to Excel is to utilize a pivot table. So it will return a pivot table, but it doesn't in fact create a pivot table. That functionality is also going to be available here in the Data tab. And if you scroll over here to the right hand side, you'll see you've got this button. It's nice and green. It says Manage Data Model. And if we click that little guy right here, that in fact will load up Power Pivot. Now, Power Pivot, like Power Query, actually exists outside of Excel. It's a component of Excel. It's not a separate application of Excel. But what you will see when you're utilizing it is that it will be in a separate window. It exists in this separate window that we can then do our modifications and work with. Okay. Now, inside of this specific application here, you will see down at the bottom, you have a tab for every table inside of the database or inside of your Excel workbook, chart, transactions, period. And I don't want to confuse you, but those are actually tables rather than the actual worksheets themselves. That'll make more sense here in a little bit. And we can also use this to, for example, create our data model as well. If we switch this from our spreadsheet view and data view, but rather go into our diagram view, which is the button located on the home tab here, okay, this is going to be where we can see a visual representation about how this data is located. So if you remember, I was talking earlier about how you needed to map in the data from one piece to the other. Okay, so you needed to, for example, map in your account number to account number and date to date. Well, one of the cool things about Power Pivot is that you can actually do this visually if that's what you would prefer rather than just mapping it by text. And this is how I normally would do it. The advantage of this being is that it's a heck of a lot easier, especially if you're working with, you know, 10 or more tables to ensure that everything is touching and everything has a connection to something else, is by also mapping in this data. So with respect to this, what we can do here is that we can pull in the different pieces of this, you know, visually. So we can pull in, for example, our account number and drop this over here to our account number. Okay. And then we can also pull in, for example, our date, and we can map it in over in this way, thereby creating our pivot model as well. Now, for those of you who might have a little trouble reading this, I'll do my best to kind of zoom in so that you can essentially see this as often as I possibly can for this, because I know some of this data can be quite small. I would also recommend that you put your zoom into full screen so that you can see this in maximum resolution, but I'm sending this as large as I possibly can over the Zoom platform, okay? And it should be sending it in HD as well. So this is what Power Pivot can do. The other component of Power Pivot is the data view. And this would be where we would do our DAX in terms of creating additional columns and modifications, as well as writing our formulas. This would be, for example, where we can create additional columns and map in new data if we wanted to. And so what I will point out with data modeling, it has to be in the model itself. So we would need to, for example, use Power Query if we wanted to bring in data outside of the set that we're working with. So we won't really author data inside of Power Pivot, but rather we manipulate the data that we already have access to. And this gives us the ability to be able to do that. So we will use Power Pivot to create and manage the relationships inside of the data model. We will use this to create DAX-based formulas, the data analysis expressions. We will use this to build key performance indicators for our reports, and we'll use it to create dimensional and hierarchies to help bring better context to our data models. Now, with a little bit on DAX, okay, the idea behind DAX is the ability to be able to create formulas inside of our data models. This allows us to kind of create smart formulas that we're going to talk more about in a little bit that are kind of, again, quasi-database, quasi-Excel-based formulas. You'll notice that not every single formula inside of Excel is supported in DAX and vice versa. DAX is really kind of its own thing, and it's going to be the language that we're going to have to use if we are going to use the Power Pivot functionality. Now, DAX is a pretty robust language. It's got lots of features and functions that are a component of the actual language itself. A kind of a really cool resource that you can check out is dax.guide. Okay, so if I go ahead and I'll go ahead and give you that link right there. This is a really good website that gives fantastic overview over the DAX language itself. And just like Excel has formulas, DAX has its own formulas and its own specific way of doing it. This would be how you would, for example, utilize this. So you can come over here, for example, and learn a little bit about the average function, which works surprisingly exactly the same way that it does inside of Excel. Okay, you point it at a column, it gives you an average for that specific column. So this DAX.guide will give you a good overview with respect to how each of these functions work, the parameters that are required for it, the attributes, and then also what it's going to return, what type of value. And if there's any sort of gotchas, it'll, you know, give you a good way of keeping an example of, you know, kind of what those gotchas might be and how you might want to work around them. Now, other functions, though, don't have a direct equivalent inside of Excel. A good example of this would be the related function. The related function inside of Excel is going to be the function that you would use if you wanted to be able to do a lookup. Okay, the related function returns a related value from another column. Okay, so in this particular example, this would be how you would utilize getting a column from another table. So if you, for example, had a, in our case, you know, we wanted to look up, for example, the account name on the transactions table, we wouldn't use a VLOOKUP or an XLOOKUP, but instead we would use the related function because this is how we would have to do it inside of Excel. Okay, and so that is what it's going to be with respect to how we get that data back. Okay, so this DAX.guide would be how that we would function in and how we would essentially learn to get the data back from Excel for whatever that we choose to use. Okay, I'm seeing some comments here with respect to the files. I'm sorry, give me 1 second. Let me see if I can put them up for you on a separate server. I'm just the instructor, so I don't control all the macro related stuff of how files are distributed, but give me 1 second here and let me see if I can help you all out. Okay. All right, I'm going to put it up on my server, and I'm going to give you a link. So just give me a second here. It's got to upload. It's a couple hundred megabytes in size. So it'll just take a second or so, and I'll get it over to you. Okay. So that is what we would use with respect to the DAX function for Excel. And we'll talk more about how you would utilize these inside of this. But where we write DAX would be in that power pivot function. And we would typically use it over here in terms of adding another column, or we would use it for creating a KPI or something else like that. Now, the next thing that we want to take a look at would be our slicers and timelines. Okay. Once you get the sample files here in a minute, if you look in chapter one, you'll see the slicers and timeline example. And you can try this out. Okay. Now, slicers and timelines are a end user function. And what slicers and timelines allow us to do is it allows us to be able to coordinate our data much easier. They actually don't bring any brand new functionality for what we get inside of Excel. With the slicers, they are basically just filtering. They are filtering the data that's already present inside the application, and they are filtering it down to present us with a subset of whatever information is included. But filtering is something that's been inside of Excel really since day one of the application. So what they are is that they are a nice little button. I like to think of them as easy buttons for being able to sort and process our data. And it allows the user, for example, to click a single button, you know, West in this particular example, and then notice my data will automatically change. I can click Midwest, likewise, and it'll automatically change. Now, all this is doing is it's just adjusting the filters of the actual report itself. It's not doing any sort of crazy additional calculation. You know, it just essentially allows us to be able to click a button and have that report reset to a specific view and a specific cut of that data. So I like them not as much for myself, but as much with respect to handing this report off to somebody else. Often the work that I am doing on a fairly regular basis is going to be work that I'm going to be handing off to maybe a management team or an owner or something else like that. And they might not have the same familiarity and experience with Microsoft Excel that I do. So the filter buttons, you know, in terms of how we would filter data inside of here and the sorting options inside of Excel might be lost on them. You know, but what they can do, while they might not be able to filter effectively, what they can do is they can click a button. And so these buttons are fantastic with respect to kind of making it a little bit easier for people to be able to work and be able to sort their data. Now, likewise, we have timelines. Timelines work the exact same way, but they are focused rather on, instead of a category or a tag, but rather on a period of time. And so they give you a timeline that you can essentially click through. In this case, I can click quarters, or I can come up here in the upper right-hand corner and I can adjust the time period from quarters and instead go to years. And it gives me a visual representation of that data. And notice as I stretch or I contract this, you know, from 2020 to 2021, 2022, we'll see that data set inside of it grow. So what's really nice about this is that it gives us the ability to be able to modify what is presented to the end user very cleanly and very succinctly. So that is, those in a nutshell are kind of like our main features of our next generation Excel reporting. Let's talk about how we would utilize them in conjunction with each other. So as a visual representation of what we have, we have data ultimately coming in from multiple resources. It could be data coming in from QuickBooks. This could be data coming in from our ERP solution. It could be data coming in from the web. It could be data coming in from multiple worksheets. Okay. The way that we're going to be able to bring that data in, we're going to use Power Query to be able to access that data. Power Query provides the connectors that allows us to be able to connect to those different data sources, whether it be through the direct database access. It could be utilizing, for example, information from the web. It could be parsing a CSV or text file. It has tools to be able to transform it, to clean it up. Okay. When the data is done, essentially, and it's ready to go, it will be loaded into a data model inside of Excel. The data model allows all these resources to be able to operate independently of each other. So we don't have to export reports anymore. We don't have to modify reports anymore. We can essentially hook up our data from wherever that data happens to live, might be a ERP solution, might be a database, wherever, it can continue to live there. We create a symbolic link out to where those data sources are, and we combine them inside of Excel in that data model. Now, ultimately, we probably are going to have to do some formulas, some calculations. Okay, well, we're going to use DAX, the data analysis expression, to use those calculations. We're going to use Power Pivot to be able to modify and manage that data model to create the different relationships that are needed. From there, we will return that information to our Excel reports. We can choose to use them in pivot tables. We could choose to use them in other more advanced capabilities of Excel, for example, like Power View or Power Map or something else like that. We'll then use slicers and timelines to be able to filter the reports to what we'd like them to be. So in a nutshell, we take data that is in its raw format and its existing raw format. We use Power Query to import and bring that data in. We modify it in Power Pivot, make it the way that we want it to be, and then we export it to whatever end product we choose to use inside of the Excel data model. So utilizing these different tools together can be quite effective in terms of improving our ability to do reporting because they are all in one shop. You know, it's just a matter of being able to use these tools in their correct order and in their correct manner. So let me go ahead and ask a question to the audience here while we get ready to start our next section. What are some of the reporting issues your organization presently experiences? I'm guessing a lot of you, for example, are in more formula-driven Excel-based reporting. You know, what kind of opportunities do you see to re-engineer some of these processes to utilize these tools that we're talking about here and to be able to use things like data model and Power Query? I'd love for you to share with me what you're thinking about in terms of how this would work for your organization, and I'll share it back out to the audience as well. Okay, so let's go ahead and get into chapter two. Now, before we get started here with chapter two, which is going to be all about data models, what I want to remind or I want to point out for those of you who are missing the sample files or maybe didn't get them from your state society, again, I'm sorry about that. That's unfortunately outside of my direct purview. I have put them onto my server. And if you go into the chat section, I've provided a link where you can download them yourself. So if you're missing the sample files, you want to follow along, which I would highly encourage, at least for me, when I'm trying to learn something really kind of fundamental like this, it is always very helpful to, kind of follow along. Feel free to download those files and try them out for yourself. Alrighty. So Justin writes in, need to figure out how to break down monthly bookkeeping data to show a higher level of business analysis that QuickBooks reporting can't do. Okay, yeah, absolutely. Well, Justin, what you would end up doing here is that you would end up importing in this data, probably using a couple of different tools in a couple of different ways, and then being able to modify it inside of Excel to produce whatever type of detailed report or analysis that you would want. You could do, for example, horizontal analysis, vertical analysis, ratio analysis, other things like that, which could be very quite useful in terms of being able to work with this data. All righty. Mindy writes in, we have a need to do analysis of tenant data in our accounting system. I'd love to be able to use the data directly from the cloud-based system instead of having to export it and then manipulate in table form in order to be able to extract the data and analyze the data. Absolutely. So Mindy, in our next section, talking about Power Query, I think that's definitely going to be your saving grace. All righty. And there's one more thing here. There was a typo on the website. It is now fixed. You can use course code NGE to download if you want. Thank you, Deidre, for finding us that. And again, you can also find the link for this material in the chat section, so you don't even have to go to the website. Just click the link, and it'll go ahead and work for you. Okay, so in our next section here, we're going to go ahead and talk through tables. Okay, a table is, as I mentioned, a model. It is a object. It is a discrete function in and out of what you would expect from Excel normally. And it is a way of holding data. It's a container. That's what I want you to think of it. Now, tables in themselves have a ton of advantages and a ton of really kind of cool things that you can do inside of Excel with it. Okay, I'm just going to start off with just a blank workbook here, and I'm just going to show you a couple cool things that you can do with tables that are really kind of useful. And I can tell you from my experience, this is probably a feature and function of Excel that I use all the time. I probably use tables more than any other function inside of Excel. And once you understand how and where they function, hopefully you'll use them too. Tables are really useful because they have a number of shortcuts built right into them that allow for easy manipulation and modifications of data. Okay, they kind of have four main functions which are really useful, and I'm going to demonstrate them all for you. As a container, they're really useful for other things you might want to use inside of Excel. Let's say, for example, you wanted to create a pivot table. I can tell you right now, you should 100% of the time be using a table as a precursor functionality to creating that pivot table. The biggest reason is that instead of creating the pivot table and knowing it, like, for example, coming from rows A1 to G32, you know, it just knows essentially that you're in a table, and it will use the table name rather than the discrete location of wherever that data happens to live. So if your information, for example, adjusts or changes in the future, for example, maybe it grows, well, guess what? Your table will grow with it. And if it's in the scope of the data, if it's in the scope of the table, it's in the scope of whatever you're creating. So 100% of the time, you should be creating a table before creating a pivot table. And the fact that they dynamically resize make it great for data sets that can grow and contract. So let me show you what that means. Let's just create a very simple table here. Let's just say this is transactional data. And so we're going to go ahead and say order date. Okay, we're going to say amount, and we're going to go ahead and say, let's just say product as an example. Okay. Now, normally, if we were going to go do something, okay, let's just say we were going to insert our date and today's date. Let's go ahead and put it in like this. Okay. And let's say it's $100, and this was for, let's just say it's for a camera. Okay. Now, if we wanted to add another object to this, you know, we would end up having to, you know, expand this particular data set. And let's just say, again, this is for a mic. Okay. Well, we would end up having to grow this data set manually. Okay. If instead this was a table, let's just go ahead and make it a table. The way that we can make this as a table is pretty simple. What we would want to have is the data actually inside of the workbook. And then we can come over here to the insert menu and select the table button that is in the upper right-hand corner. Okay, that would work well for you. You can also, for example, from the home tab, right smack dab in here in the middle, you'll see that there is a format as a table. That will work well for you as well. Okay, and you can also use the keyboard shortcut Control T. That's my personal favorite. So if we go ahead and we use that control shortcut T, no matter what way you actually end up going to this, you'll get the create table dialog. And as long as your data is contiguous, all touching with each other, it will know that essentially this is one discrete object. In this case, it knows that it starts in A1 and it goes to C3. Now, the other best practice besides having everything touch, have no blank columns, have no blank rows. It's okay if you have a blank cell. That's not a big deal. But you want your data contiguous. You want your data all touching each other. It makes it much easier and much more malleable to work with. Okay. And the other best practice is you certainly want to have a header. We'll go ahead and we'll click OK. Again, one of the best ways that you know that you're in a table, A, it's going to have styling. And if you're in the actual table itself, if you come up to the upper right-hand corner, you'll see that you have the table design menu that will pop up. Okay. Now, when I say it automatically grows, is watch what happens if we create another row down here. Okay. We create another row. Notice it will automatically extend that style down to us. So let's say it's 250 and this is for a monitor as an example here. And let's say tomorrow we go and we buy something else. Okay. And every time we add a new record here, it will go ahead and add that to our table. And so one of the really cool things about these tables is the fact that they auto expand to include additional objects. Now, they will expand down to include additional rows, which are great for growing data sets. If we think of something like our general ledger as an example, well, that will change all the time. I mean, as we add additional records every single period, we can expect that general ledger to grow. So if we utilize tables for any type of report where we expect the data to be dynamic, whether it's going down in terms of additional records or even going across, let's say we wanted to add a column here called tax collected. Okay, watch what happens when I add this additional column in column D. Okay, it extends out. This allows us to be able to work with growing data sets in Excel much cleaner than we could if we were working with just discrete objects. When we were to go, for example, and create our normal pivot table, we would select this data and we would tell it to create a pivot table just from this. Okay, and it would say, for example, cells A1 through C6. But instead, if we go and we create our table, and then create our pivot table from that table, instead of saying the actual cells, it will say the name of the table. The benefit of this being, as the data set grows, it's automatically inside the scope of whatever object we create it from, as long as we're creating it from that table to begin with. So that is one of the first main functions. They automatically resize based off of the size of the data that we're working with. We have more columns, they grow. If we have more rows, they grow. Now, the next big feature that I love about tables is the fact that it automatically replicates the formulas as we start to work with a specific column. So in this particular example here, let's say we want to create a formula for tax collected. Well, two things. It's going to keep this whole column in sync, and it doesn't matter where I write my formula. It will auto keep that column in sync because that's a feature of databases. With databases, we don't work with individual cells, but rather a column manipulates a whole series of data. So when I write a formula for a database, it manipulates the whole thing. It doesn't manipulate just cell C4 or cell C5. Let me go ahead and just jump out of our table here as an example, just to drill home the point so that you know what I'm talking about. If we're outside of our formula, outside of our table, and we select something, and let's just say we wanted to write our formula here, okay, we end up having to write our formula and then copy it down to these additional rows in order to get it to replicate. With tables, the formulas will auto-replicate for us, okay, and also writing the formulas are much simpler. We're going to go ahead and select the column that we would like, in this case, B4, or the amount column. We're going to say 0.85. And as I hit enter, notice that whole column will move in sync with each other. And it doesn't matter where I write it. In this case, I wrote that in B5 or in D5. If I came up here to D3 and instead, you know what? It wasn't 8.5%. It was 7.75% like this. It will adjust that whole column for me. I think I need a zero there. There we go. And it will calculate that automatically. So the formula will not only keep that whole column in sync, but it'll also apply to additional values as we start to enter those in. So let's say on the 12th, we go and we buy a scanner. Okay. And that scanner cost what? Let's say that scanner cost $300. Okay. Notice that formula will automatically include for other items going down. So as you're starting to think about your next generation reporting, tables are one of these base functions because often we are going to be working with data sets that will grow dynamically because it's coming in from these other systems. It's coming in from our accounting system. It's coming in from the web or other things like that. Okay. Now you might've noticed when I wrote this formula, it looked a little bit different than maybe what you're used to for other formulas inside of Excel. Well, in this particular case, you'll see that it doesn't actually say cell B6, but rather it says amount. One of the other really cool things with respect to tables is that it allows us to be able to pull in data coming in. Sorry, it allows us to be able to manipulate this like if it were a database. In a database, what we would normally do is we would specify the column that we would like to use coming in, and we just call it out by its friendly name rather than where it is located. Traditionally, inside of Excel, when we're working with data, we use what we call cellular positioning. And this is how you've always utilized Excel, you know, cell D6, cell D5, C2, C3. But instead, with a table, one of the things I like about it is that we reference the column of where something is located rather than the position of where it is. And again, this is all building around the fact that we can then make our reports very dynamic. So if they're dynamic, they can grow, they can easily change in the future. So we have a couple of special things that we should know about referencing stuff inside of Excel. Let me just go ahead and give you an example here. Okay, anytime that we're referencing things inside of a table, we use brackets. And brackets will specify that that data is coming from a table. So if you're ever inside of Excel and you look at a formula and it has a bracket like this, square bracket, that indicates that somewhere that data is being pulled somewhere from that table. Now, the way that we actually reference this stuff is pretty simple. So what we would do is we do an equal sign, and then we would use an open bracket. And that open bracket, if we're in the table itself, will allow us to specify whatever column that we would like. So that's another big reason why with your table design, you always want to ensure that you're using a header row. Because if you didn't have a header row, it'd say column 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, versus a nice friendly name like order date, amount, and tax collected, so on and so forth. Now, we have a variety of special operators. A good example of this would be the at sign. That at sign represents, hey, go to the current row of whatever we're working with. So in this case, the current row of the amount. Okay, if I select that, well, Excel knows, go to, in this case, row 2, and grab it the column value in the amount column, in this case being 100, and it will specify it being that way. But those square brackets always indicate that the data that we're working with is coming from Excel. Now, if we're outside of the table, we need to specify the table name of whatever we're working with. Let's say, for example, I wanted to write a formula that would sum the amount here. Okay. Well, the way that I would do this is I would do an equal sign. I would write whatever function I would want. I could use the subtotal function. I could use the sum function. Let's use subtotal in case some of you haven't used this function before. Okay, so we'd go ahead and we'd say equals, we type in subtotal, not substitute, subtotal. Let me scroll down a little bit. All right, equals subtotal. Okay, and with the subtotal function, we have to specify a argument. Okay, it takes two arguments. The argument first is what operation we'd like to do. And they run from 1 to 11 or 101 to 11. Okay, and we would tell it, for example, hey, if I want to do an average, well, that would be argument one, function one. If I want to count them, if I want to get min, max, product, if I wanted to get a standard deviation, sum, whatever. Now, sum is going to be function 9. And so we would go ahead and put in a 9 here, telling it that I would like to sum whatever I am going to tell it to do next. So argument one would be the function number. Okay. The next thing would be what I would like it to do. Now, I can use subtotals anywhere. I could point it out discreetly as an example here and point it at just these cells like B3 through B7, or I could reference it in table format, which is what you should use. Now, if you're outside of a table, you need to have one extra operator, which is the name of the table. In this particular case, this is table one. And you'll notice as I start to write out table one here, it highlights the whole table. Anywhere that we would normally use an Excel discrete location, a cellular position, we can use a table reference instead. So we'd say table one, and then we're going to use an open bracket to specify what column. In this case, we're going to choose the amount column like this. We use this close bracket and then a close parentheses. And if we hit enter, well, that's how we get a nice sum of that particular column. Okay. Now, the subtotal function is preferred in a lot of different ways, and I would tell you you should be using the subtotal function as much as you possibly can. The big reason of which is that subtotals don't include other subtotals. So if you, for example, are creating, let's say, a balance sheet, and you've got your assets, and you have a bunch of, you know, essentially subtotals inside of it, total cash in bank, total fixed assets, total accumulated depreciation, total investment, whatever it ends up being, well, you end up calling these things out in separate tabs. Well, if you choose to sum that whole column, well, you know, you're going to end up double counting things, and it can be very difficult. Sometimes you might have to specifically discreetly pull those things out. But instead, if you're using a subtotal function, anywhere that you would normally use a sub function, it will not include other subtotals in its subtotal. Meaning, let's just go ahead and write that formula one more time below it, but let's just sum everything above it. We'll do subtotal 9, and instead we're going to go ahead and sum everything like this. You'll notice that it does not include this other value. And so this is a great way of being able to sum a whole column without including other subtotals in it. Now, all we have to do is reference the column name outside of the table, square bracket, and then whatever column we'd like it to be. Now, this does present an interesting thing with respect to our structure for this. You'll notice that this is called table one. What I want you to get in the habit of anytime that you're working inside of tables, always do this. Once you've created your table through whatever method you'd like to do, come up to the table design submenu, and then on the left-hand side, you'll notice that there is that table name. And what I want you to do is I want you to immediately, as you start to work with your data set, give this a better name than table one. The first item you'll create is table one, table two. And as you start to work with bigger data sets, a good example of this is the one that we were looking at a little bit earlier here, you know, where we've got our chart of accounts and our transactions and periods. This has three different worksheets inside of it. It'd be really confusing remembering what the heck, you know, what was in table one, table two, table three. But instead, if we come up to our table design on the right hand, left hand side of this, you'll see that table name. Give it a friendly name and representative of what it is. The other best practice I will tell you, tables should be single purpose. You know, you shouldn't, for example, have one monolithic monster table that includes everything. It'd be a heck of a lot better whenever possible to store the data that you're working with in its smallest divisible unit. So if it's chart of account data, it's chart of account data. If it's transactional data, it's transactional data. Whatever ends up being, that should represent just a single thing of whatever you've got. And by storing in its smallest unit, smallest piece, it will be a heck of a lot easier for you to work with, and it'll be a lot more manageable. So come on over here and give it that friendly table name. Okay, the other big function is the fact that we can then create that data model from it. And so that data model gives us the ability to be able to relate those different tables together and then ultimately create a pivot table or a Power View worksheet, dashboard, or whatever else we choose to use. All right, colleagues, welcome back to the office. Let's go ahead and have a couple of review questions and then wrap up for the day. Our first review question, what do data models link together? Is it a chart of accounts? Is it a transactions table? Is it a financial dates table? Or is it all of the above? And the correct answer here is all of the above. With respect to data models, they link together all different types of information, regardless of where that information might come from. So, you know, it could be a chart of accounts that exists as a spreadsheet that you just happen to have, or it could be coming from QuickBooks or another financial accounting system. Your transactions table could be coming from an accounting system, an ERP solution, or wherever else you might need. All that data would be dynamically inputted into our model and then made available for whatever reporting we choose to do so. So the correct answer here is all of the above. Our next question, what tool should be used to manage the data in the data model? Well, there's a lot of different tools that we could choose to use, but let's see, is it DAX? No, DAX, which is Data Analysis Expressions, that is a formula language that we use within data modeling operations. Data Analysis Expressions is a separate subsection of not only Excel, but Power BI and other tools that could be used to create formulas that allow us to do operations on information inside of it, but it does not necessarily manage the data model. Is it Power Query? No. Power Query, while an incredible tool, is a fantastic tool for bringing data into our Excel or into Power BI, but it, in fact, is not a management tool. The correct answer here is Power Pivot. Power Pivot is that correct tool that we would use to manage our data model. And although it's, you know, essentially it says pivot in it, it really isn't a pivot table tool. It's kind of misleading. It's really a tool for managing data models. So the correct answer here, again, is Power Pivot. Our third review question, How does using a table with a pivot table make things easier? Okay, is it a pivot table automatically update information as the table grows? Yes, absolutely. If you use a table in conjunction with a pivot table, one of the best things about it is that tables are dynamic in the way that they operate. They can grow, they can contract, they can operate, but they're really good when you have changing dynamic data sets where the information itself might grow. Like a good example of this would be for transactions coming from an accounting system. You know, you could have more transactions today, and you'll certainly have more tomorrow, the next week, the next month. Well, the table set will grow automatically for you. Is it pivot tables will reference a table name instead of a fixed range? Absolutely. And so the correct answer here is both A and C. They grow dynamically, and because we reference the name of the table rather than the absolute position of that as that data set grows, if it's in the context of the table, it's going to be in the context of a pivot table. So I'm going to go ahead and decree here, you should be using a table 100% of the time when you choose to do a pivot table. You can always benefit by using a table in that particular context, let alone all the additional benefits such as structured references and the fact that formulas self-auto replicate and more. They really are an incredible tool. Well, today we continued our discussion with respect to next generation Excel reporting. We kind of talked through some of the major areas around data models and how they are a cornerstone for modern practices. We talked about how to get access to our data using Power Query, which is probably the best feature that's been added to Excel in the last couple of years. With Power Query, you can get access to anything, whether it be coming from another spreadsheet, a folder of data, heck, even a PDF itself. We also talked about how to manage data models with Power Pivot. With that tool, although saying pivot table, it's not really a pivot table tool, but rather a data model tool, we could import in whatever size quantity of data that we have. We're really only limited to the performance of our computer, and that's how we could do big data analysis inside of a tool like Excel that we're already familiar with. Now, in future series and future episodes of this series, we're going to go ahead and talk through how we can manage our data models more effectively using Power Pivot and some of the other incredible features and functions of that tool. We'll also continue to explore DAX, data analysis expressions. We'll talk about cube formulas. As a quick heads up, cube formulas can be really cool because it allows us to create a pivot table 100% from formulas, which allows us to kind of get around some of the traditional limitations of a pivot table in the sense that you can't have a formula in the middle of a pivot table. You know, if you've ever gone to a pivot table and you try to expand it, can't do it. You know, if you try to put a formula in the middle of it, it'll say, hey, what are you doing here? You can't use that here. It's a pivot table. Well, guess what? If we use cube formulas, we can't. And we'll also take a look at slicers and timelines for end user experiences. I like to think of them as being the easy buttons with respect to analysis inside of our data. I really like them because, you know, somebody doesn't have to have intimate knowledge of how to filter the data. All they have to do is hit a button. So if you can hit a button, you can do some pretty cool reporting inside of Excel. So all that and more, honestly, there's an endless supply of best practices and techniques with Excel. So please stay tuned. There's so many more great features and functions coming in this series. Now, I do want to remind you, if you're a financial professional, please consider getting credit for today's class. After watching or listening, head on over to cpetoday.com. Use course code NGE2 for today's class. In addition to our podcast series, which we put out for free, all you have to do is pay for the credit if you'd like it. We have a whole wealth of other information and other courses to help you stay on top of your game with respect to financial education for Excel, for audit, accounting, and more. You name it, we've got it. If you like our content, you want to connect with us, we'd love to hear from you. Please consider reaching out on social media. You can find us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and more at CPE Today. And you can always get our show on your own schedule. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, and more. We're doing our best to put out content regularly. So please find us wherever you happen to find your content. It's my absolute pleasure being with you here today. Thank you so much for your time and attention, and I very much look forward to seeing you back in the office the next time around. Take care and good luck.